We're up to Perek Hamisha Asar, the 15th chapter of Hilchas Asuri Biyah. Halacha Aleph. Ezel Mamzer Amar B'Torah. What is a Mamzer, an illegitimate child, that's mentioned in the Torah? Zeba Me'erva Min Arayos. This is one who issues out of a erva, that is the forbidden, incestuous, or adulterous relationships. Chutz Min Anida, with the exception of the offspring of a woman who was Anida during the time of the conception. Sheben Menapogum Ven Mamzer. The son from her is blemished, but is not illegitimate. If one cohabits with any of the other forbidden relationships, whether by force or by will, on purpose or by accident, the child is illegitimate. Both males and females, the offspring, would be forbidden forever to intermarry with the rest of the Jewish people. It says, Gamdar Asiri Klom Alolam, even the 10th generation is forbidden, in other words, forever. Bezach, a Mamzer Shnosh Yisrael, so Yisrael Shnosh Mamzeres, if a male Mamzer married a Jewish woman, or a Jewish man married a female Mamzeres, Kim Shabalo Achar Kiddushin, if they had intercourse after betrothal, Loka, they are flagged. Kiddush Mabal, if he betrothed but did not have intercourse, and a Loka, he is not flagged. Bovalo Kiddush, Enom Lokan, Mishum Mamzeros, if he had intercourse without betrothal, they are not flagged because of the prohibition of marrying an illegitimate person. Because none of the prohibitions that are only a negative violation get flagged just for intercourse, unless there is also betrothal, except for the high priest who, if he has a relationship with a widow, which is bar, as will be explained. If a man remarries his divorced wife after she was subsequently married to someone else and then divorced, the child is kosher because that's not considered an erva, even though you're not allowed to remarry her, but it's still not considered an erva. Gimel Gaivi Avodah Bal Kosher, a non-Jew or a slave who had intercourse with a Jewish woman, the child born of that is kosher. Ben Petuya Ben Beishasish Ben Bonus Ben Baratzum. Whether the woman was unmarried or married, forced or willingly. If a non-Jew or a slave have intercourse with a female mamzer, mamzeres, the offspring is a mamzer too. Mamzer balagoy avlad goy. A mamzer who has intercourse with a non-Jewish woman, the child is not Jewish. If he converts, he's kosher like any other convert. If a mamzer had intercourse with a maidservant, the child is a slave. If the slave was freed, the child is kosher. Like other freed slaves, and then he's permitted to marry a Jewish woman. This is the rule. A son who comes from the father, a slave or a non-Jew, or the mother, a female slave or a non-Jew, the rule is, he goes like whatever his mother is, and it doesn't matter what his father is. Accordingly, they allowed a mamzer to marry a maidservant in order to purify his children, because he can then free them, and the children will then be freed people and no longer mamzerim. They did not decree that you're not allowed to marry a shivcha in the case of the mamzer because they wanted him to enable him to rectify the condition of his children. Halacha hey, mishchetzi avid v'chetzi ben chayrin. Someone is a half slave and half a free man, a baal eish asiyish, and he has intercourse with a married woman. Also ben en lo tekana, and that son has no way of being rectified. Because he's mixed, he's half mamzer and half a regular kosher Jew. Because the half of his father that was a slave who had intercourse with his mother who was a married woman, that's not considered a mamzer. But the half of the father that was a freedman who had intercourse with a woman who was married, it is considered adultery, and on that half he is a mamzer. So he's mixed up both He has a bit of both. Lefikach, therefore, also b'shivcha, he cannot marry a slave because he's partially kosher. And a kosher Jew cannot marry a slave. Therefore, his children will be like him forever. They'll also be in that same kind of status of mamzerim. A half mamzerim, sort of. Vav, gaya bal shivcha shetavla, reza eved. If a non-Jew had intercourse with a maidservant who immersed herself in the mikveh, thus rendering herself the status of a slave, so that offspring is a slave. And a slave who immersed and made himself into the status of a slave who had intercourse with a non-Jewish woman, havlad gai, the child is a non-Jew, halacha acharayim, because you go after the mother, as we said previously. Avogaya bal shevcha gaya, ayavet gai shevcha gaya bascheirin, a non-Jew who had intercourse with a non-Jewish servant woman. In other words, even if she belongs to a Jew, but she didn't immerse and gain the status of a slave belonging to a Jew. Or a eved gai, that is to say, the slave is still a non-Jew, he didn't immerse himself, and he had intercourse with a non-Jewish woman. So you go after the male to determine the nation, because in a case when they're both Goyim, they're both non-Jews, you follow what the father is. Zayin mutar, mamzer mutar lisagiyaris, a mamzer may marry a convert. A female mamzer may also marry a convert. However, the children of both of them are mamzerim. Because the child goes after the one with the blemish. It says he may not marry the congregation of Hashem. The congregation of Gerim is not referred to as the congregation of Hashem. If a woman convert married a man convert and they had a son, even though he was conceived and born in a state of Jewishness, he's still allowed to marry a mamzeres. And ben beno, the same with his great-great-grandson, until the name of his, or the reputation, the knowledge that they're a family of Gerim is removed from them. People don't know anymore that he's a ger. And afterwards he has several mamzeres, he'll be forbidden in a mamzeres. The status of a convert and of a freed slave is equal. If a convert married a Jewish woman, or a Jewish man married a female convert, the child is like a Jew in all respects and he cannot marry a mamzeres. There are three kinds of mamzer. Mamzer vada, a definite mamzer. Mamzer sofik, a mamzer where there's a doubt. Mamzer divisofim, and a mamzer who is a mamzer by rabbinic law. Is there a mamzer vada? What's a definite mamzer? The offspring of a definite erva, incestuous or adulterous relationship, as we've explained. Mamzer sofik, and a doubtful mamzer. The offspring of a doubtful erva. Someone who had intercourse with a woman where there was a question as to whether she was betrothed to someone else, or she was betrothed and there's a question as to whether she was divorced properly or not. Gives a hand and the like. To resell for him, what is a mamzer by rabbinic law? If a woman heard that her husband died and she remarried, and then it turned out her husband was alive, and her first husband had intercourse with her when she is still married to the second. The child is a mamzer by rabbinic law. By Torah law, he's not, because his mother's really just married to the first father. And that's his father. If a unmarried woman became pregnant, and we ask her, what's the nature of this unborn or born child? If she says it's a kosher child, I had intercourse from a Jew. She is believed to be kosher, and the child is kosher. Even though most of the city in which she committed her act of illicit intercourse were non-kosher people. Nevertheless, we believe her. If the mother was never checked and then she died, or she was deaf-mute or mute or insane, so we couldn't really find out from her. Or she said, I had intercourse with such and such the mamzer, or to such and such the nosin, the descendant of the seven nations who are forbidden. Even if that person admits that it's from him, they say yalod sofik mamzer. We consider the child only a questionable mamzer. Because just as she had illicit intercourse with this one who she admitted to, perhaps she had with another one too, and the other one is his father. We refer to this type of child as a shtuki. He knows who his mother is, but he doesn't know who his father is for sure. Similarly, a child found in the marketplace that's known as an asufi, someone gathered in. There's a question as to whether he's a mamzer. We don't know what he is. An unmarried woman who had an illicit relationship and said, this child is the son of so-and-so. Masaploni kosher ben kosher. If that so-and-so is kosher, so is the child. However, she's not believed that it is definitely the wife of that man, the child of that man. In other words, if he were to die without any other children, we couldn't say, well, he had a child and there's no yibum. No need for the sister-in-law to perform either yibum or chalitza. However, the Rav says, I think we should be afraid of her words. Even though we don't accept it for sure, we should still be afraid. And this son will be forbidden in the relatives of that person who she claims is his father because of this doubt. We've already explained that if that person who she says made her pregnant is a mamzer, she's not believed to make the child a definite mamzer, but he would remain a mamzer out of question. If there's a father who it's known that this is his son, and he says, this son of mine is a mamzer, he's believed. However, if the son has children, he's not believed. The Torah believes him only for his own son. He should recognize the firstborn, the son of the one, the wife who he doesn't like. And we interpret it, he should cause him to be recognized by others, that he can establish his status for others. Just as in that pasuk, where we believe the father to say, this, my son, is a bechar, so he's also believed to say, this, my son, is a mamzer, ben grusha, ben chalitza, or if he's a kohen, the son of a divorced woman, or a woman who received chalitza. He's believed to say about his pregnant wife that this fetus is not my son, and it's a mamzer, a definite mamzer. Someone who says about himself that he's a mamzer is believed to forbid himself upon a Jewish woman. However, he's not allowed to marry a female mamzer. Until we know for sure that he's a mamzer. His son would have the same status as him, as we've just said. If he has great-grandchildren, he's not believed to disqualify his great-grandchildren. He can only disqualify himself. Grandchildren, I should say. The Torah gives him believability only vis-a-vis his children, but not his grandchildren. A betrothed woman who became pregnant in her father's house. We assume the child is a mamzer. He may not marry a Jewish woman, nor may he marry a mamzeres. Because we don't know for sure that she became pregnant by another man. Maybe it was her betrothed. If the mother was checked and she said, Arusi nisabati, became pregnant by my betrothed, Nemenes Vavla Kosher, she's believed in the child is kosher. If the betrothed denied it and said, I never had intercourse with her, If the mamzer, then the child is definitely a mamzer. Because even if we assume that it was a son and he said no, he's a mamzer, he's believed. We should have a zona. Ella, nemenes lomolos, nevalti vena zona. We cannot, on the other hand, declare a woman to be a harlot. She believed to say it was the my betrothed, and therefore she doesn't have the status of a harlot, who would be forbidden to marry a kohen. From this is, therefore, if she got married, le kohen, lo tete, she would not have to get divorced from him. And the child born from him would be a kosher kohen, because even though we're declaring her child a mamzer, we're not declaring her a harlot. If the people were saying rumors about her and she is betrothed, they said that she was having intercourse with her betrothed and with other men, even if we know that her betrothed had intercourse with her in her father-in-law's house, there's a question that she is a mamzer, that the child is a mamzer, just as she made herself loose to the betrothed, so she did to other men. She was checked and she said, this child comes from my betrothed. He's a kosher, then he's kosher, as we've explained. If a woman was pregnant and she said, this fetus is not for my husband, she's not believed to disqualify him, for Ben Chesel is kosher, and the son is assumed to be kosher. The Torah gives believability only to the father. Amrav, the father said, that's not my son, or her husband was out of the country, and we know that it couldn't be a son. Then we assume the child is a mamzer. If she says, I became pregnant from a non-Jew or a slave, the child is kosher. The husband cannot say that she's lying. He doesn't know. The maximum that a child can be in his mother's womb is 12 months. If a married woman has, there's a rumor, and everyone is saying that she is having intercourse with other men, committing adultery, we're not afraid that her children are illegitimate, because most acts of the sexual intercourse, we assume, are from her husband. You would be allowed to marry her daughter in the first place. But she herself would be considered a harlot. If she was extremely loose, then we're afraid even for her children. They may be a mamzerim. The law of the Torah is, if a person is a doubtful mamzer, he may marry into the congregation. It says, a mamzer shall not come into the congregation of Hashem. A definite mamzer is forbidden, but not a questionable one. The sages were stricter when it comes to laws of marriage, and they forbade even the questionable mamzer to marry with the congregation. A definite mamzer can marry a definite mamzer female. But a questionable mamzer, or the shtuki that we mentioned before, where the mother conceived, or we don't know from whom, or the asufi, the foundling, so asalisa vas Yisrael, he cannot marry a regular Jewish woman. He can't marry a mamzeres either. Even a questionable mamzeres is forbidden to him. Maybe one is not a mamzer and one is. However, a mamzer of rabbinic law may marry a mamzeres of rabbinic law. And so the other doubtful cases may not marry one another. The shtuki who is a child of questionable paternity, the asufi, the foundling, the questionable mamzerim, cannot marry one another. If they got married, they're not allowed to remain married. They must divorce. And the child would be a doubt like his father's. The only thing these doubtful people can do is to marry converts, and then the child will also be doubtful, just like them. They will always have to marry converts. A shtuki and a sufi who married a convert or a freed slave, or a male convert and freed slave who married a female person whose father is in doubt or a foundling. But shtuki a sufi, the child is considered a shtuki or an asufi. A sufi was in a city with non-Jews. If there were some non-Jews, even if there were, whether there were mostly non-Jews or mostly Jews, so there's a question. He may be considered a non-Jew vis-a-vis his lineage. If he betrothed a woman, she needs a get, because there's a doubt, maybe he's Jewish. If someone killed him, he would not be put to death, because maybe he's not Jewish. If the Basin immersed him in order to be considered a ger, or he immersed after he grew up, then he's just like another Asufi who was found in a Jewish city. He has the status of a Jewish Asufi. Now, most of the people in the city were non-Jews, and the Sasufi never converted, you can give him non-kosher to eat. Mostly Jews, you must return his lost objects as to a Jew. Is 50-50. You're obligated to give him charity like a Jew. You can break Shabbos to save him by removing debris from him. When it comes to questions of damages, he has like any question of doubt. When there's doubt in money, the one who wants to extract the money, the burden of proof is on him. So in any situation where he'd have to prove that he's a Jew, where he wants to extract money, and he can't prove that he's a Jew, he could not extract the money. In any city where there is a maidservant or a non-Jew fit for to bear children, since the foundling that is found there may be a non-Jew or a slave, so when he marries the convert, as we've explained, that the Asufi can marry a convert, so there's a question as to whether she's married or not, because if he's not Jewish, then the Jewish marriage is of course not valid. And if one had intercourse with her, with this wife of this Asufi, he would be free of punishment. You can't kill him when there's a doubt as to whether she's really considered married or not. And usually it also appears to me, that if the Shtuki married a woman that he might be related to, so it's a question as to whether she's married or not, because if he's related to her in an Erva, the Kedushin would not be valid. But since he might not be Jew, since he might not be related to her, so the Kedushin would be valid. So there's a doubt. Now, what kind of example is this? Where do we have a case where the woman might be an Erva? Since we don't know who made the woman pregnant, if her father or brother was alive when she became pregnant, so in a case like that, in other words, he cannot marry any woman whose father or brother was alive when his mother became pregnant, because maybe her father or brother is his father, thus that woman is either his sister or his aunt. Also, any woman who was divorced or widowed, maybe she is the wife of his father or the wife of his father's brother. Rambam says, how do we know that a Shtukin Asufi would not be forbidden to any woman who might possibly be a relative of his? The Rambam said before, if he marries a woman who might possibly be a relative of his, there's a question as to whether the marriage is valid or not. But he doesn't say that the marriage itself is forbidden. So he says like this. A kosher person whose mother was checked is not forbidden for every woman who might be a relationship to him. In other words, let's say a shtuki that we checked, we asked the mother, was it a kosher man? She said yes, but we don't know who the father is. Yet, he's allowed to marry anyone. For now, the Torah says, so don't let your daughter commit incest or adultery. The sages explain that we're not allowed to let our daughters commit harlotry, because that will lead to adultery or incest, or rather incest. If there would be harlotry, it would turn out that you wouldn't know who is who, and you would have a father marrying his own daughter and a brother marrying his own sister. Now, the law would be that if someone doesn't know his father, he is not allowed to marry any woman who might possibly be related to him. And then it could never happen. There would be no danger. You see, the Torah says that there's a danger if you let your daughter a whore. There would be a danger that the child that she has might wind up marrying a relative. Now, if the rule would be that if you don't know who the father is, you can't get married, then there'd be no danger. There'd be no danger that the child of a whore would marry the relative, since he wouldn't be able to marry anyone, since he would know who his father is. So this teaches you, you don't assume someone is a relative out of doubt, until you know with certainty that this is a forbidden relationship. Shema Tomer came, because if you would forbid it, all of the orphans of the world who don't know their fathers would always be forbidden to get married. Maybe they're going to marry some forbidden relationship. So the Rambam proves by this that if a shtuki is kosher, that is to say, if his mother says that the father was a kosher person, he can get married even if he doesn't know who his father is. And we're not afraid that he might be wind up marrying a close relative, because we're simply not afraid of that. The child was thrown on the road and someone says, that's my child, I threw him there, he's believed. The mother's believed. If he was gathered in from the marketplace, and then his father and mother came and said, that's our son, they're not believed. Since the term foundling has already been applied to him. In times of hunger, they believed. They threw him there because of famine. They wanted others to support him. That's why they waited till he was gathered in. If we find a child who was circumcised or wrapped up in clothing, or they used to apply salt to the newborn baby, or they used to apply kind of eye dye to the newborn baby, or there was an amulet on his neck, or he was under a protected tree where wild beasts cannot get to, near to the city, or he was found in a shul next to a public domain, or on the side of the public domain. In those cases, we do not consider him a foundling vis-a-vis the laws of Mamzerus. Since his parents took care that he shouldn't die, we assume therefore that he is kosher. If he's found in the middle of the road or far from the city, even if under a tree or in a shul that's far from the city, or he is suspended from a tree, a place where a wild beast could reach him, then he's considered an asufi. The midwife is believed to say this child is a Kohen or a Levi or a Nosin or a Mamzer, because we do not know their lineage and we can believe her. This is if she has a presumption of being trustworthy, no one argued. Even if one person argues and says, she's testifying falsely, in a menace, she's not believed, and therefore we would assume the child to be kosher, but to have no lineage, not to be a Kohen or a Levi. If there's a certain thing that a shtuki, that someone who's, we don't know if his father is kosher or not, cannot marry a female shtuki, or a foundling cannot marry a foundling, because they are doubtful as to whether they're kosher or mamzerim. A definite mamzer and a nosin, someone descended from the seven nations of Canaan, may marry one another, and the child is a mamzer. And a shtuki and a nasufi may marry a nosin, and they can marry other converts as well, and the offspring would remain a doubtful one, just as the parent was, either a Shtuki or a Nasufi, that is to say, the question is whether he's a Mamzer or not.